This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Unity, peace, and coming together. Why that is ridiculous. We'll talk about that tonight. Senator Josh Hawley is with us. My buddy Josh Hammer is there to talk about all the Supreme Court stuff and a light in the mood you need to see. All that's coming up on I'm Right. You ever see anybody talk about unity now? Healing the divide? Maybe you yourself talk like that. Maybe you talk about, I wish we would heal the divisions. I wish we could come together. I wish we could unite. And I need to say something as we go into all the great sortings and the division and stuff like that. I want to say this and I want to be clear. If you're one of those people who speaks like that, healing the divides and peace and unity and bringing the country back together, I sympathize with you. I do. I understand the desire to go back to a country where we've always had our political differences, sometimes extreme political differences, but you want to go back to a country where at least we were all Americans who could possibly come together and heal the divide. I sympathize with that point of view. At the same time, you're insane, and that can never happen now. There's no healing divides. We will not unite. We are now at least two separate nations. We are as far as the East is from the West. That's how far apart we are. The best you can hope for is victory. That's what you can hope for now. There will be no healing of divides. I called COVID the great sorting for a reason. The great sorting. Why did I call it that? Because COVID, it really should have been a huge revelation for you about the people in your life who are actually your enemy. And I know that's such a hard way to look at it, right? And I know it's hard because maybe that was your mom. Maybe that was your son. Maybe it was your brother, sister. Maybe it was people you work with. But COVID, for all the other stuff that was there, there is a great benefit to it. COVID was a stress test where the temperature got turned way up and you got to find out who people really were. Remember, hard times, panicky times, they don't change people. They reveal people. You found out during COVID how people thought, who in your life you could trust, who in your life will sell you down the river in a heartbeat. You got to see during COVID how truly, truly evil so many people in this nation were, especially media people. I want to give credit where it's due to Tom Elliott at Grabian. He always is putting together these great little montages. He has a 4-minute long one I would highly recommend. Here's a portion of it. And I'm not playing this for you so you can remember. I'm playing this for you so you can understand who is around you, you can understand the types of people we are surrounded by. Look at this.
You are the problem. It is the unvaccinated who are the problem. Period. End of story.
It's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks.
Because frankly, we know that we can't trust the unvaccinated.
I think it's time to get our moral house in order, Anderson. It's the unvaccinated who are the threat.
You're basically punishing the vaccinated for the sins of the unvaccinated.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin. This is not about freedom or personal choice.
Well, my freedom is being kind of disturbed here. No, screw your freedom.
Those who are not vaccinated will end up paying the price.
The unvaccinated should be taxed. They should pay more for health care.
We need to start looking at the choice to remain unvaccinated the same as we look at driving while intoxicated.
We're going to see, and I've said, almost two types of America.
Dr. Fauci said that if hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. That choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
Literally, the only people dying are the unvaccinated. And for those of you spreading misinformation, shame on you.
Remember, not just the people who told you that in the media. I want you to remember your liberal Aunt Peggy. I want you to remember that she believed it. She believed it. She believed all of that. And she believed you were the enemy because the media and the doctors and everyone else told her you were the enemy. And she acted as if you were the enemy. Do you remember? Do you remember the poll that came out 2022? Democrats wanted unvaccinated people fined, locked in their homes, arrested and sent to quarantine camps. They wanted their children taken away from them. That's not a COVID story. That's a these are the people you share a country with story. You see, the next time, the next issue that comes along, whatever it may be, maybe another pandemic, who knows? But the next time that issue comes along, your mom who told you you can't visit, she doesn't want to see you anymore because you're not vaccinated. Your mom is going to believe the media the next time they tell her that you're the enemy too. And she will act once again the next time as if you're the enemy too. The great sorting. But now that COVID is passed, now that all that idiocy and nonsense is passed, I don't want you to feel like we're coming back together. We're uniting. We're not uniting. There will be no uniting. There will not be any. They have simply moved on to other things. Now they're telling your liberal Aunt Peggy, now they're telling her every single day that you're a white supremacist.
White supremacists, I did my inaugural address to a single out as the most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy.
Don't think that that's just the idiot dementia president we have out there saying that. This is now the consistent theme over and over and over and over again from the highest levels of power, from the attorney general to the head of the DHS.
The president yesterday at his commencement address for the Howard University graduates called white supremacy the major domestic terror threat in this country. Is that correct?
It tragically is, and regrettably, we have seen a rise in white supremacy.
You see, they have a reason for what they're doing. It's the same reason they did it during COVID. During COVID, it was the unvaccinated. You're unvaccinated. You should be taxed. You should die. You're an enemy of the state. You should be arrested. They've now moved on and done the same thing with, quote, white supremacy. You've probably never met a white supremacist in your life. I don't think I have either. So why would you do it? Why bring up something that doesn't even really exist over and over and over and over and over again? Because the goal of the entire federal government now, FBI, DHS, Attorney General, CIA, NSA, the entire federal government now has been weaponized against the domestic enemies of Democrats. Against their political enemies. The goal is, in case you're wondering, the goal is to turn you and your beliefs into an enemy of the state, a domestic terrorist. That's what they want. You, your freedoms you love, freedom to drive what you want, freedom to own the guns you have, freedom to just say whatever you want online, even if they determine it's misinformation. They want that to become criminalized. Why? Because they want to send the FBI to kick down your front door and arrest you for what you believe. This is all about imprisoning their political opponents. That's the goal. That's where we're going. They'll look at a border that's flooded right now with illegal immigrants. And you know what they see? You know who they see the enemy is? It's not all the illegal hordes coming across the border. It's not the terrorists, they just caught one crossing the border. They look at the border and the only enemy they can find is you.
Governments. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis recently signed a new law that targets his state's undocumented population by making it a felony to shelter, hire, or transport undocumented immigrants. It requires hospitals to ask for their patients for about their immigration status. What's your reaction to this? Is that even constitutional?
So I will defer to the Department of Justice on the lawfulness of that type of action, but I will say this. It is a sad and it is tragic when government officials, people in positions of authority to do the right thing for our country, actually use human beings as pawns to score political points.
The problem is not the illegals or the terrorists or the Chinese military age males pouring across the border. They look at it and all they see is you, terrorist. All that may have made you very uncomfortable, and I hope it did, but I am right. Senator Josh Hawley's been all over Mayorkas like white on rice, and we're going to talk to him about that in just a moment. Before we talk about that, let's talk about money. Money's a difficult subject right now because we're all losing it. We all are. When you have double-digit inflation, you've lost money, period. End of story. And we do this with our retirement. We focus on 401ks, we focus on IRAs and things like that. But what we do when we go only that route is we put ourselves underneath government control. Government controls these things. They tell you when you can pull it out, when you can't pull it out. They tax you out the wazoo for these things. What if there was a different way? What if there was a way you could do this yourself? Not stressing about taxes, building in inflation protection, you being in the driver's seat. That sound interesting? It is. It's called Bank on Yourself. Why don't you go check it out? Go to bankonyourself.com/Jesse and find out how you can seize control of your retirement rather than give that control to the government. bankonyourself.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
It is stunning to me, stunning, to hear you say that the prior administration reunited children with their parents.
Oh, I see. So this is their fault?
But
you're not going to take any responsibility for the indentured servitude and exploitation of children that is happening on your watch. A moment ago, you were crowing about the fact that you treated children so well, and yet we find tens of thousands of children who are forced to work as slaves because of your policies, and you turn around and blame a prior administration. Mr. Secretary, this is par for the course for you. You do it every time you appear before this committee. You do it every time you appear before Congress. I, for one, am sick and tired of it, and thousands of children are in physical danger. Danger because of what you are doing. You should have resigned long ago, and if you cannot change course, you should be removed from office. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Joining me now, Republican Senator from Missouri and author of the new book, Manhood, the Masculine Virtues America Needs. And actually listening to Mayorkas' voice tells me America really needs more masculinity. Senator, okay, I played that clip on my radio show last week, and I immediately got an email from a listener telling me that they wish my voice sounded more like yours. That's insulting.
What can I say? It's good to be with you. Thanks for having me. Despite that, thank you for having me.
Okay, Mayorkas sucks. Everyone knows this. What I want people to see, and what I know that you've been trying to get through to people, is This seems like more than a failure. I see the right talk about this all the time. When we have a wide open border, they'll say that he's screwing up, or this is a blunder, or I can't believe the mistakes they've made. These aren't mistakes. The border was fairly secure. They opened it up and they did it on purpose.
Yeah, no, that's right. They are doing it on purpose, and chaos is what they want. Jesse, there's no doubt about it. They want to, I think, collapse the immigration system. They want tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people coming across the border. They want the asylum system to be totally overrun, and it is. They want our detention facilities to be totally overrun, and they are. They want to collapse the whole system so that they can replace it with a true open borders policy in the law. Right now, our law says that the border is supposed to be closed. Our law says there's a process if you want to come to this country. And these guys, the Biden administration, they want to explode all of that. It's part of their open borders religion. And it's a disaster.
Senator, what does the normal American do with all that frustration then? Because this seems to be a pattern more than just the border, where if you get a Democrat elected, they will just choose to stop following the law. As if it's just an option, they'll choose to stop following the law. Well, you look, they obviously have the DOJ, DHS, presidency, everything else. What do we do when the leaders of the nation just stop following the law?
Well, I think the first thing that we've got to do is we've got to be vocal about telling the truth. I mean, every American should recommit themselves right now to telling the truth and not being intimidated by this administration that wants to silence the truth. They want to kick us off social media. They want to kick us out of school board meetings. They want to silence us and cancel us. And I think this is a time to stand and be bold. And I just salute all of those patriots out there who are doing that and saying, I'm not going to be canceled. I'm not going to be threatened. I'm not going to be cowed into submission by these people. So I think at this time, when this administration is really trying to destroy free speech in America, and with that, everything else that we hold dear, we've got to recommit ourselves to saying, whatever it costs me, I'm going to tell the truth. And then, of course, on from that, when we've got the chance to exercise the franchise and go vote, we've got to vote in a way that reflects what we believe in. And that means demanding conservative candidates who will actually stand up and fight, who will stand up and do something and not just be yes men or yes women when they get to D.C.
I'm glad you brought that up about the yes men and yes women. And actually, this ties right back to your book. It seems like, look, I call them the low-T GOP. It seems like our Republican Party has for years, for most of my adult life, been very, very nice. And we've been very nice, and we want to do things the right way. And we talk about things like principles. In the meantime, the rabid communists on the left are tearing through every part of this culture. And so much of our party seems afraid to even speak to it, let alone do something about it. We're right and they're wrong. Why are we afraid?
Yeah, I think that's because a lot of the folks who are in D.C., they want to get along with everybody else there. It's the go along to get along. I've seen it in my brief time in the Senate, a little over 4 years now in the Senate, and I've seen it every single day. Like, well, I don't want to be criticized in the media. Oh, I don't want to be criticized by leadership. I got to make sure I keep leadership happy. My view is that I'm not there to answer to leadership. I'm not there to answer to the press. I'm there to answer to the people who elected me, number one. Ultimately, I'm answer to God for the choices I make in my life. So I think we've got to say to the people who we vote for, listen, you answer to me and to nobody else. And we need to elect candidates who have the guts to stand firm, because if you're doing the right thing, if you're rocking the boat, you are going to get criticized. They will come after you in Washington. I know that firsthand. And we need more people who, when they come after you, they will say, no, I'm going to stand right here. I'm not going to give an inch.
Why do we lack that in the Senate? There's like five good senators and the rest of them suck. And there's a few good members of the House, but the Senate, for some reason, it just dies. My own state of Texas, I don't know if you know him, so you don't have to rip on him. We have one good senator, and then John Cornyn is there. How's John Cornyn a senator from the red state of Texas? We have these weenies all over the Senate for the GOP. How's that happen?
You know, I think in the Senate, I don't know institutionally quite how we got to where we are. I mean, listen, I'm a guy who voted against my own leadership in the Senate. I mean, I just did it a few months ago where I voted against our current leadership. I said I thought we needed somebody different. We need somebody new. We need somebody who's actually in touch with the voters. And I stand by all of that. I mean, I say it practically every single day. I just think the Senate is really out of touch with the American people. And I think they're really out of touch with Republican voters. And, you know, I mean, my colleagues don't like it when I tell them that. But I said, listen, guys, I mean, you don't reflect. Look at what Republicans in the Senate have done for the last 2 years during the Biden administration. They gave Joe Biden victory after victory. I mean, whether we're talking about their climate agenda, which they dressed up as an infrastructure. In fact, it's all green climate garbage, which makes China rich and America poor. Or whether we're talking about their gun control bill. I mean, I don't get it. And obviously, I'm sometimes a lone voice in the Senate, but very often in the minority in my own party. So I'm an outlier there. And maybe I'm the one who's out of touch. I don't know.
Good. Stay out of touch. What are the masculine virtues America needs?
We need men who, number one, are stronger. What's that look like? Men who want to have the qualities of character of husbands and fathers, warriors and builders, priests and kings. And that's what the whole book is about. You know, we need men who want to be good men, who want to be strong men. At the end of the day, are going to protect, going to provide, and be willing to sacrifice for the people they love, for their neighborhoods, for their churches, and for their country.
Senator, are you going to be in leadership soon? I totally agree. Our leadership really, really sucks in the Senate. The House is a little bit better, but are we going to see a move to kind of replace some of this old guard that's let us down time and time again?
Well, it's not going to be me. I have no interest in leadership. But I do think that we need a change. And like I said, I've openly called for that. I voted for it. I would do it again. I'll have the chance to vote. You know, we do this every 2 years in the Senate. So if people in Missouri are willing to send me back, I'll be able to do it again in a couple of years, and I'll vote for new leadership then too. And I just hope that we can get leaders at all levels, you know, whether it's an official leadership or in rank and file, who want to do what the voters sent them there to do. And right now, that means standing up and telling the truth. Right now, that means pushing back against Joe Biden's radical left neo-Marxist agenda, not going along with it and facilitating it. And I just think that it's not hard. It's not like it's super complicated. It takes some wherewithal. You got to be willing to take the criticism to do it.
Senator, the book is Manhood. Go pick it up. I appreciate you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to Josh Hammer next about that and other things. Before we talk to Josh Hammer, you know I'm a history guy, right? Everyone loves history. Even if you don't think you do, believe me, you do. You just haven't found the right person to talk to you about it yet. But I'm a history guy. And I'm a reliability guy. I believe in reliable. I don't need a fancy car. I need a reliable car. Don't need a fancy watch. I need a watch that tells time every time. That's why I love precious metals. I always have, my entire life. Why? Because history tells me whatever gold and silver I purchase, it will maintain value. No matter what happens, inflation rates and interest rates, and then no matter what happens, my precious metals are worth a fortune. And reliability. Reliability means 5,000 years from now, my gold and silver, when it's my great, I don't know how many great grandkids, it'll have incredible value. Now's the time you need that. Call Oxford Gold, please. They'll get it in your 401k and IRA. It's not as difficult as it sounds. It sounds like a headache, right? It's nothing. Actually, they make it super easy. They'll get gold and silver coins to your front door. Call them, but call them today before everything goes pop, okay? 833-995-GOLD. Tell Oxford Jesse told you to call, all right? 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Last summer, the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade with the Dobbs decision. And that was just the opening act for the assault on our fundamental rights and freedoms.
The Supreme Court is the new right-wing legislature for this country.
I do not think that this court any longer has the legitimacy.
Joining me now, my friend Josh Hammer of The Josh Hammer Show. Also, he's the opinion editor of Newsweek. Josh, it doesn't take a genius to see about the last 6 months to a year, maybe more, a real ramp up in consistent attacks on the Supreme Court. Sometimes physical attacks, but constant. It's just become part of the communists' regular talking points. Why?
Yeah, I mean, we can go at least as far back as the unprecedented leak of the Dobbs abortion case last May. I think it was May 3rd, 2022, which, by the way, you know, many people on our side, Jesse, have forgotten about this. you know, the Chief Justice, the Marshal, they put out their report back in January kind of saying, oh, we don't know who the leaker was. You know, I feel like I'm one of the only sane people left who is still kind of sounding the alarm about this. I mean, it is utterly insane that the leaker of the Dobbs abortion case has not faced justice. I'm only going to continue to kind of pound that drum as we kind of move forward. But yeah, after that, and then of course, in the buildup to the Dobbs abortion case, after that, you had these quote unquote protests outside of the right of center Supreme Court justice's home, notwithstanding that there is a direct federal statute on the books that literally proscribes, that illegalizes so-called protests outside the homes of judges or justices with the intent to sway the outcome of a pending Article III federal court case. But, you know, that was a while ago at this point, Jesse. The point of the column that I wrote recently was, over the past 5-6 weeks or so, you've seen this very new kind of full-scale Democrat media complex, to borrow Andrew Breitbart's term, this disinformation campaign against the Supreme Court. So ProPublica, which is kind of an investigative journalism site, has had numerous pieces purporting to claim that Clarence Thomas has ethical violations. You've had this piece from Business Insider, I believe it was, about Chief Justice John Roberts' wife, Jane Roberts, and how she is apparently taking too much money or earning too much money to be a high-profile, prominent legal recruiter. You had this other piece from Politico about Justice Neil Gorsuch with a real estate transaction down in Colorado. It's all nonsense. The details of these cases do not matter. You and I can go there if you want to. The point is, this is a full-scale effort to delegitimize this court, building up to the so-called ethics reform hearing that Sheldon Whitehouse, Dick Durbin, and the idiots on the Senate Judiciary Committee held a couple weeks ago. What they are building up towards is radical legislation and probably trying to pack the Supreme Court. So we have to speak out against this because it's really kind of playing with fire when you talk about court packing at that point.
Okay, what's their goal for this, Josh? Because it seems odd to people who don't know what they're seeing, because the Supreme Court's not going anywhere. They're appointed for life. Sadly, these people go there and just die there. But anyway, they're appointed for life. So what can they do except for yell and whine? What's the goal?
I mean, they're trying fundamentally, I genuinely think, to pack the Supreme Court. That has been the goal of the far left for a number of years now. So if you remember correctly, back on the 2020 campaign trail, you know, Biden never endorsed court packing when he was running for president, but some of his further left rivals did. And if I recall correctly, he did say as a campaign promise that at a bare minimum, he would start this commission to investigate possible Supreme Court reform measures. And sure enough, that's actually exactly what they did. So Joe Biden, when he was president, had this commission to study possible changes to the Supreme Court. And that was back in 2021. And the results of that commission were fairly mealy-mouthed. They didn't come up with much in the way of concrete suggestions. But the point is, he was flirting with it. He was flirting with the idea of court packing, of using the partisan power to add justices to the Supreme Court, basically to kind of ram through his agenda. Now, you know, you don't have to be a huge student of history to remember that this is what FDR famously tried to do during the height, or the depth, you might say, I guess, of the New Deal back in the 1930s, when his New Deal legislative economic agenda was being repeatedly held up by a conservative Supreme Court. And sure enough, in 1937, you know, Democrats during the New Deal, Jesse, they totally controlled the Senate. They totally dominated the Senate Judiciary Committee. But the Democrat-held Senate Judiciary Committee in 1937 issued this scathing report back to FDR. And they said, no, we are not going to rubber stamp your agenda. We are not going to pack the Supreme Court here, because let us attest to the fact that the Supreme Court is an independent branch of governance. That's how the framers designed this system, and we're not going to screw it up. So I think it's time for us to kind of start talking about that again, because that ultimately, I think, is really where Joe Biden and the Democrats are trying to take this whole train.
Okay, well, packing the Supreme Court is one of those things they always seem to flirt with but never seem to do. Can you help people who don't understand the law? Can you help them understand what it would take to pack it? Can Joe Biden just wake up tomorrow morning and decide to pack it?
No, it would take a law. I mean, Congress has to pass a law. But so look, I mean, according to the Constitution, Article 3 of the Constitution basically says that the Supreme Court has one chief justice and then however many justices that Congress may establish. So we haven't always had 9 justices. We have 9 today. It's actually only been that way since the late 1860s, if I'm not mistaken, in the aftermath of the Civil War. Going back to the founding of the Republic, there were kind of six or seven justices, depending on the time, going back to the First Judiciary Act, which was passed shortly after the United States was founded. So it's not required. The number of justices is not required by the Constitution, so Congress can change it, but it would take a law. And, you know, the point of that FDR 1937 example that I flagged there is that when the Democrats last tried to actually jam through a law to pack the court, when FDR did it almost 100 years ago, it was a Democrat-controlled Senate Judiciary Committee that actually said no. And, you know, from my perspective, Jesse, we've had a 9-member Supreme Court for over 150 years. You know, I see no particular need to try to tweak that right now. It's worked fairly well for the most part.
Josh, this case out of New York, the Daniel Penny case, everyone knows, everyone's seen the video by now, choked, the career felon died, Penny now is arrested on manslaughter charges. This just goes along with things that you've been saying, things that I've been saying for the longest time. But there's no law in these blue cities anymore, Josh. And people on the right, it's very hard to understand that and accept it because that's such a brutal reality. But you don't have rights. You don't have First Amendment rights in these places now. These places are hostile territory.
Oh, totally. 100%. I mean, Jesse, you know, my younger brother, my only sibling, lives in New York City. I mean, that was my very first thought, honestly, when I saw what Alvin Bragg did to Daniel Penny, was like, oh my God. I mean, like, this is like a third world republic up there at this point. I mean, like, I mean, Daniel Penny is literally the definition of a good Samaritan. I mean, this is a young U.S. Marine Corps veteran who saw this mentally disturbed man who should have been institutionally committed, God knows how long ago, physically harassing people on the train. I mean, and he said, and, you know, look, it is tragic that this man died the way that he did, but ultimately the failure is the failure of New York City and the United States more broadly to properly deal with this ridiculous pandemic of mentally ill homeless people, drug addicts and mentally ill homeless people, that going back to the liberalization of our civil commitment laws in the 1960s, 1970s, that's like Jack Nicholson, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, all of that. Ever since then, we have not had a strategy for dealing with people like Jordan Neely, who never should have been on the streets in the first place. So, but to your point also about Alvin Bragg and the weaponization of the rule of law, look, Jesse, here is kind of the know what time it is take on this whole scenario. You know, I hear a lot of our side talk about kind of, oh, neutral enforcement, kind of neutral prosecution. Oh, he's weaponizing the rule of law. We are not going to get back to a neutral liberal playing field. They have been weaponizing the rule of law out in the open for years and years now. And until our side, until Republican DAs and prosecutors all across the country from the federal level all the way down to the county level start responding in kind, prudentially, in tit for tat fashion, we're not going to reach any kind of mid to long term stable equilibrium. So that is what I am hoping for. And I haven't seen a whole lot of it yet, but, you know, fingers crossed.
Been friggin' none of it. Josh, thank you, buddy. Talk soon.
Anytime.
That's what I've been saying. Where are our DAs? Where are they? Where are our AGs? Where are our arrests? The communists only understand fear and pain because they're religious zealots. Religious zealots only understand fear and pain. Until we begin returning fire with this stuff, they have no incentive to stop. What incentive do they have to stop? You think pointing out their hypocrisy is going to stop them? That's what we always do, right? Well, what a hypocrite! He doesn't care. All right, we have more. You want to see the latest and greatest in the culture war stuff? These people. We'll talk about how committed the communist is. That's a perfect segue in just a moment. Before we talk about that, let's talk about how you make yourself feel better. In this day and age where you wake up every day and you roll over and you grab your phone and you look and, oh my gosh, everything sucks. It's hard, right? They're destroying the dollar, World War III, all that stuff. What do? Prepare. Preparation makes you feel better. I look at my ammo supply and it makes me feel better. I look at my go bag, I feel better. I look at my emergency food kit and I feel better. Why? Because I know I've prepared myself and my family for whatever may come, whatever that may be. World War III, Great Depression, famines, droughts, economic collapse, whatever happens, I have 3 months worth of food for everyone who lives in my home, courtesy of my Patriot Supply. They have emergency three-month food kits sitting there ready to go. Go get yours. You'll feel better. MyPatriotSupply.com. They're giving away $200 worth of free survival gear right now, too. MyPatriotSupply.com. Get yours today. We'll be back. We talk about how communists are religious zealots all the time. This is something we talk about. Well, why do I bring that up? Why do I talk like that? One, because it's true. Two, when you understand that's how they think, it makes it easier for you and me to anticipate what they will do next and what they will go after next. Because it's a standard liberal. Oh, he leans left. He's just a Democrat. He may stop here and he won't go there. But a religious zealot, have you ever met one? Maybe you are one. Maybe you have a strong belief system. Let's put it to you this way. Maybe a way you can understand well. Maybe you are a born-again Christian and you are serious about your faith. Now, let me ask you something. As a born-again Christian who is serious about your faith, do you go into any situation, work, home, play, whatever it is, do you go into any situation and set Jesus aside? Hey, Jesus, sit this one out, all right? Just going to work today. No more Jesus for me today. No, you don't. The very thought of it is ridiculous, right? He's your Lord and Savior. He's your everything. You can never understand the communist until you understand that's how he looks at communism. That's how he looks at his faith. We look around at the things the communist has infected and destroyed and taken over, and we get so frustrated by it because we don't want them to ruin this and we don't want them to ruin that. And why would he do this? You see this, we'll ask this question all the time. Why would he do this? Why would he do this? Why take over this? Why take over Transformers?
My pronouns are they, them.
Thanks. I'm Sam. I'm she, they, but you already know that. Hey, it's okay. I know I'm safe when I'm with my friends or other non-binary people.
Non-binary?
People who aren't female or male. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have assumed.
I always knew my pronouns felt right, but what a wonderful word for a wonderful experience.
Why? Why would you do that to Transformers? I grew up watching Transformers. It was always what I would ask for my birthday or Christmas when I was a little kid. I'd want the little Transformer action figures, Transformers. Why would they do Transformers? Why can't you just leave Transformers alone? Well, do you set Jesus aside? The people who write these cartoons, the people who make child's programming, it would never occur to them. It would never even enter their minds to set their religion aside. Their religion is everything. They're zealous about it. How committed are these people? Well, I've got a great example for you. How committed are these people to their religion? Let me ask you, is there anything in the world, if you're a parent, is there anything in the world that would cause you to harm your child on purpose? That would prompt you to harm your child on purpose? Of course not, right? Of course not. Those are your babies. It's your kids. I'd live and die for mine. But you have to understand the communist is so committed to his religion, he will toss his own children into the fires of Moloch without a second of hesitation on behalf of his religion.
What drives me is my children are all queer. My eldest child is non-binary. My son is gay. My youngest is fluid. And, you know, they're my kids, and they teach me every day.
How does that happen? Gay, non-binary, fluid. How does it happen? Well, she groomed them. Her own children. That liberal white woman right there, again, reminder, liberal white women are the most evil creatures on the planet. And I really mean that. When I say that, I'm not being over the top. Because maybe when I say that, you think, oh, what about the communists in North Korea? The communists in North Korea are evil, horrible, murderous people. I understand that. They wouldn't do it to their own children. liberal white women will. And that liberal white woman raised her own children to be sacrificed. She destroyed them. She groomed them on purpose. They will have mental health problems their entire life. God forbid they commit suicide, but that's usually the route this thing goes. It'll end up with drugs, alcohol, abuse, suicide. And she did that to them, and she did that to them on purpose. Now, what in the world could make a mother? I mean, we just had Mother's Day yesterday. The love of a mother is sacred. What in the world could make a mother do that to her own children? Religion. She's committed. She's committed all the way. Why do we have so many children now lost and confused? Well, because the rainbow demon mob, they are committed to their religion, to evangelizing on behalf of their religion. And sadly, the right has been scared of them for far too long. So scared to offend anybody or speak difficult truths. And now we have a nation full of abused children coming up. No more being afraid, right? All right, it's enough of that. It's enough. Let's go talk. Hey, let's do something healthy. Something that's important. We have a light in the mood next. This is one of the most important light in the moods we've ever done on the show. This is one you have to stick around for. Before we get to that, let's get to this. You know what else is important? Nutrition. Nutrition's important, right? Now, don't worry, I'm not being your health coach here, but do you eat fast food cheeseburgers every meal? I would like to, but I do not. Why? Because I need nutrition, vitamins and minerals. I need things. Well, your dog's a living thing. Your dog needs nutrition too. Why do you think all dog food is brown? Brown is dead. The color of life is not brown. They kill everything in dog food. Nutrition is green. Rough Greens is a nutritional supplement you pour on your dog's food, and for the first time in his life, your dog will have vitamins and minerals and probiotics. You will watch your dog come alive in ways you never thought imaginable because your dog has had nutrition for the first time ever. Free bags right now. Free Jumpstart trial bags. RoughGreens.com/Jesse, all right? Or you can call them 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back. All right, we've got a light in the mood, and probably a more serious light in the mood than we normally do tonight. Serious, but important. It's important to inform people, to give people PSAs out there. So I just think this is something we all need to see and be aware of. Before we get to that, let's get to this really quickly here. Let's get to the air you breathe. Smells inside of your home. You see, your home, your office, it has smells. Why does it have smells? Not because you're dirty. Well, you have smells. Human beings put off odors. Our pets do. Our food does. It's just natural. That's why you walk in a home that's not yours and it has a smell. Not people who have Eden Pure thunderstorms, though. I keep three of these in my home, three of these in the studio where we work here. Why? Because it clears the air, cleans the air constantly. Viruses, mold. I don't even have allergies anymore. You walk in my home and there's no smell. The thing is a daggone miracle. It's just this little black box that goes right in the outlet in the wall. Go get you a three-pack. They've got them $200 off. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse is what gets you that $200 off, all right? All right. Now, a little bit more of a serious light in the mood this week. It is Dementia Awareness Week here in the United States of America. Dementia Awareness Week. And we thought, look, hey, we need to, as hard as this can be, we need to bring this condition to the forefront in people's minds so they understand it, they're aware of it, they can be on the lookout for it. So here's a little dementia awareness video just to let you know the signs you should be looking for.
What was the last country you traveled to?
The last country I've traveled, I'm thinking what's the last one I was in. I've been to 89, I met with 89 heads of state so far. So I'm trying to think, where was the last place I was? It's hard to keep track. I mean, yeah, you're right, Ireland.
Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie?
I didn't think she was going to be here to help make this. And one more, I've been saying this during the last campaign, the off-year campaign. Doug knows. Look, here's the deal.
Now, I'm going to hand it over to Secretary, Mr. Secretary. I'm going to have you speak now.
Javier, Mr. Secretary, you can come up too. And I want to thank former general. I keep calling him general, but the guy who runs that outfit over there.
Happy birthday, dear Valen. Happy birthday to you. Well,
be aware of the signs. I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.